Welcome to the Australian Bitcoin Podcast. I'm Jeremy, your host for today's episode. Today's guest is Will from Anon Addy. In a previous episode, we covered privacy email, including Anon Addy, an email aliasing service, one that I use often and recommend to people. Will has a really interesting story about how he didn't quite like the corporate life and decided to go out on his own and got into open source software. It's a story I think many Bitcoiners can relate to. Before we get on to Will, just a quick note from our show sponsor. Hardblock is Australia's oldest Bitcoin-only exchange, established in 2014. Featuring automated DCA with 99 sat withdrawals, dedicated SMSF accounts, and Bitcoiner customer support. To find out more, email hello@hardblock.com.au or sign up with the link in the show notes for free automated Bitcoin withdrawals for 6 months. And now, here's the show.
G'day, Will. How are you?
Very good, thank you. How are you? Thanks.
I'm really good as well. You're in London, I'm in Adelaide, so different times of the day. But it's really good to have you on because, we've talked about your product before when we did a session on emails, I find it a really good product to use. So we're just really keen to talk to you about it and find out, you know, how it came about. So I guess before we do that, would you mind telling us a bit about yourself, like as much as you want to reveal from a privacy perspective, like what your education is and experience and so on?
No problem. First of all, thanks a lot for having me on.
Sure.
My background actually is in maths, which is what I studied at university in the UK. This has always been my strongest subject. I think I have quite a logical mind and I absolutely love problem solving. And the plan was always to go into accounting, potentially work for one of the big four companies in the UK, big four accounting companies. But when I left university, I had a couple of corporate jobs and I really did not like it. It just was not for me. Mm-hmm. So in 2015, I quit and taught myself to code and I have not looked back since.
Amazing. I think a lot of people in the Bitcoin space and myself can resonate with that, spending time in the Bitcoin, in the corporate world and just the soul destroying nature of it. So you've got the coding skills. Why did you put that towards Anon Addy, like an email aliasing service? Why that and not some other project?
When I initially started working on Anon Addy, I was building it mainly for myself. I'd tried a few of the other services that were available at the time. This was back in early 2019, and I wanted to improve on them. So what it really was mainly for my own use. I wanted to address some of the issues with the other services, such as them being closed source or having adverts, analytics trackers on their sites, no option to encrypt the forwarded emails, no option to have multiple real email accounts, which on Anon Addy I call recipients.
Yep.
So that was really the driver for creating the product.
And then when you were doing that, did you have in the back of the mind that it would become a business, or was it just a tool you were going to use for yourself?
I can't really remember, to be honest. At first, it was mainly for myself. I just thought, I'm just going to build this really quick thing. And it was a cool little project I was working on. And then I remember I did a post, I think, on Reddit asking for beta testers to try it out. And then I think in September 2019 is when I got the first paying customers.
Yeah.
And then I think I did a Black Friday deal that November, and that's when I thought, oh wow, it actually has got some legs. So
yeah
that's really, I was impressed. Yeah,
it must have been an amazing feeling getting that first revenue.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've worked on a SaaS before, an earlier one to do with eBay, and that made a little bit of money, but I've learned a lot since then.
Okay. And you mentioned, you know, open source seems like an important thing to you. You know, how did that come about? Did you have a, what created that philosophy for you about open source?
I've always wanted to just be as transparent as possible. So ever since I initially launched the code and launched the first beta, it was open source. I'd hoped that it would encourage others to improve or even make additions to the code. It actually now has around 2,000 stars on GitHub, which is unbelievable. I never imagined it would be that popular. And it also motivated me to write better code, because I knew that if the code would be visible to everyone, it would encourage me to follow all of the best practices that Laravel has and make sure I'm continuously improving it and trying to make the code even more efficient.
Okay. Yeah, that's really, so I hadn't really thought about that kind of discipline perspective when everyone's comparing to your code that you need to make.
Yeah, because there are multiple ways to get something to work, but sometimes some ways are better than others. So it pushes you to find the more optimal way of solving the problem.
So are you familiar with, because in the cypherpunk world, which is where Bitcoin came from, previous to Bitcoin, they were working on these things called remailers, like anonymous remailers. Is that something you're familiar with at all? Because Anon-Eddy is kind of a similar concept to that.
I've heard of remailers before. Yep. Do you have an example of one that comes to mind?
The way they do is they like split up the packets of data, and then it's almost like a BitTorrent, but it's not like an email is being forwarded. They're actually splitting it into separate packets because they want to remain really anonymous. From each other. It's just something that just before the interview, I was reading something about a guy who may have been Satoshi, and he worked on these remailers, and it's actually a really similar parallel to what you've created with Anon-Eddy in an email aliasing service. So just for the audience to possibly look up, but that is the history of Bitcoin comes from these remailers initially.
Oh, wow.
So you talked about open source. You've also, in your website, you've clearly put a lot of effort into helping users self-host Anon-Eddy, which is kind of another way of saying, not pay you for your service. Why have you put so much effort into helping people self-host Anon-Eddy?
I guess it's because, again, focused on being as transparent as possible. Mm-hmm. So part of that was to give others a detailed guide on how to set up a mail server. I also did it partly for myself. As instructions, if I needed to spin up another instance for testing or staging, there are actually quite a few steps involved to get the whole thing up and running. So having a little prompt certainly helps. And there is actually someone called Crazy Max who he maintains the Docker repository. He created a Docker image for Anon-Eddy. I don't actually use Docker myself, so I'm not particularly familiar with it, but that's amazing that he created that on his own back. So that's probably an easier way for people who use Docker to get the whole thing up and running if they wish to self-host.
Yeah, that the community aspect of this type of software is so amazing. And off air, before we started recording, you mentioned that, and I sort of was curious, that basically you are Anon-Eddy. It's just one person that has kind of created all this. And I think it's just, as a comment, just so powerful that one person can create software that anyone can use in this way. And it just sort of makes you wonder what the giants like Microsoft are doing with all of those engineers. I find it incredible. All right. So what's next for Anon-Eddy? Because you indicated you wanted to wait a little while before having this interview because you had something in the works. So what's next for you guys or for you?
Well, yeah, you're right. I did want to push this interview back a little bit, but unfortunately, things often take longer than you expect. So I haven't actually finished the redesign that I was working on, that is what I'm working on at the minute. It's a brand new user interface. It's being built with Vue 3, Inertia.js, and Tailwind CSS.
Okay.
So this will be a single page applications, an SPA. So hopefully the whole user interface will feel much snappier to navigate, have faster load times. I'm going to attempt trying to optimize database queries. So I do have a lot of features in the pipeline, but at the moment the priority is just resolving some of the overcrowding in the current user interface and trying to make it more intuitive to use. There are also a couple of new domains for paying users, so I can share more about those as well as the new features in the coming weeks.
Yeah, cool.
But I'm excited. It's hopefully going to be a huge improvement to the site.
Yeah, no, that sounds good. I mean, to be honest, I think it's a very well-designed site already. Like I do the product management for Hardblock, and we actually tomorrow at the time of recording, so when this comes out, it'll be live. The deployment will have like a completely new interior of the website. It's very satisfying seeing something like that go live. So, that's pretty exciting. I also noticed that Bitwarden users, so we also did an episode on password managers. Bitwarden users can integrate with Anon-Eddy. How did that come about? Did they drive that, or was it something you pushed for?
That was there were people requesting it on the GitHub repository. They were opening issues saying integrate Bitwarden, and I was getting emails. But Bitwarden reached out to me And they did it entirely on their end.
Oh, cool.
So they didn't, it didn't require any work for me because they were able to use the Anonadi API, which allows the creation of new aliases simply using an API token, which you can make on the settings page. And then you can just issue a post request to the correct endpoint. So it is as simple as that. And so I'm really grateful to Bitwarden for including Anonadi in their initial email forwarding generator launch. I've been a long time user of Bitwarden and I recommend it to all my family and friends. So I do feel really proud to be associated with such a great service.
Yeah, it's very cool. I use it myself and we recommended it on our series in the podcast on privacy tools. That's really good. I'm curious, do you do much marketing? Because what we find challenging is when you're working with customers who care about privacy, it's very hard to find out information about them, like who they are. Like they have most, like I have no Google, I have no ads that I see. I've got, you know, a lot of tracker blocking. Have you looked at marketing and research, you know, given the target market?
To be honest, this is definitely my weakest area. I literally haven't spent a single penny on advertising or marketing since I first launched the service. I don't have any analytics, Google, Matomo. I don't have anything on the websites. So the only way of guesstimating traffic is looking at the size of the Nginx access logs. The growth has been entirely through word of mouth and organic searches. So I am genuinely extremely grateful to everyone who's recommended and mentioned the service to their family and friends. It's been amazing. So I know that is my weakest part, though. I need to maybe invest some money into that. I'm not sure, to be honest. I'll have to look into it.
Start your own podcast. Yeah, it's kind of a good product when word of mouth is all you need. It's a really good sign. Before we go on and talk a bit about Bitcoin and other privacy tools, we did go into a bit about Anonadi and how it works, but do you want to just give an overview for the listeners? You know, what does it do and what problem is it trying to solve?
In a nutshell, it's an email forwarding service or an email aliasing service. And this problem it solves is the problem of having a spam filled out of control inbox, and it protects your identity online. I think using a different email alias or address for every service and site online is naturally the next step after you start using a password manager. And it's common knowledge that you should have a different password for every account online, and having a different email address just adds an extra layer of protection, as well as allowing you to easily see who sold your data or who's been hacked or had a data breach. Of course, it's not feasible to have hundreds of different email accounts, like 100 Proton mails or whatever. So that's why Anonadi allows you to create aliases that all forward to your chosen email account. So it just makes it easy to manage all those different aliases in one place. And you can update where they've forwarded to. I'm not very good at summing it up because I never say it to anyone in real life.
I have to say, so, you know, like maybe at the start of this year, I had a Gmail account that was my name, which I've had since 2014. I had like maybe four passwords that I memorized. We just had a breach in Australia with Optus, which is the second largest mobile phone provider. So there was a data breach where there was like several million, like millions of driver's license numbers, passport numbers, all sorts of data was breached. And it was only since kind of joining this Bitcoin crowd who care a lot about privacy where I'm like, oh, that's a really terrible way to have my internet security set up. So I've now got like a Proton Mail, I've got Anonadi, I'm doing, you know, the aliases. And I think one of the great things is, like you say, it's much more secure if you have one email, unique email address and unique password for each service. That way, even if there's a data breach, which is going to happen, which is just assume it will happen, then the security is so much better. And I also really like, if you do sign up for something that, you know, normally you're meant to tick a box that they're going to send you some spam, but they just do it anyway, you can just turn off the alias. You can go in and just turn it off. And probably the best thing, which you didn't mention, is you actually don't have to, and when I say all this stuff, we're not like sponsored by Will here. we're just in the service and we're like open source software. But you don't actually have to log into an Onaddy to create these aliases. You can just make them on the fly. And I won't go into how you do it, but you can see pretty easily on the website. So it's a really good product in that way. And I use it a lot. All right. So you mentioned you've got a maths background. So have you looked into Bitcoin like technically at all and how that works?
I understand the overview of how it works, but no, not like technically, as in I wouldn't be able to fork it and create my own coin or something like that. But Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies are actually what got me down the privacy rabbit hole many years ago as well. Yep. Just researching how to secure your coins, having like a cold wallet, that got me down looking into Tails, the operating system, all this offline storage, trying to be as secure as possible to protect the cryptocurrencies. And that is genuinely how I got into all of the whole privacy sphere. Mm-hmm. So I'm really grateful to cryptocurrency for that.
And so you do accept Bitcoin and other cryptos for payments. Yes. Like, how much usage is there of that, and how do you find accepting payments in that way?
Naturally, most customers still do pay using regular card payments, and I use Stripe as the payment processor for that. There has been a decent amount of interest in paying with cryptocurrency. I'm a big believer in Monero myself, so I love being able to accept that.
Yep.
And it's having the amount of interest that I do have in crypto payments makes it definitely worthwhile having that as a payment option. And it would be interesting to see if more people do choose to pay with cryptocurrencies in the future.
Yep.
I use Globee is the processor I use for the cryptocurrency payments. And I believe they accept about 7 or 8 different cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Monero, Bitcoin Cash, I think, and a few others.
So it's
pretty cool.
Too squeamy. So this, our audience and our focus, and me personally, we're all Bitcoin maximalists. So we focus on Bitcoin. And so hearing things like Bitcoin Cash can annoy some people.
I'm not endorsing it.
No, okay, good. But I think the one crypto that most Bitcoin maxis will be okay with is Monero, because they're like, oh, Bitcoin's not private enough, and so they can kind of get that. Whereas most of the other cryptos, it's more about centralizing wealth, and that's not really what we're about. I have to say, I usually pay by Bitcoin if it's an option, but I feel like it's still not, as a user experience, not quite there yet. Because I've had a couple of times where I think I tried to pay to Bitwarden, and the Bitcoin just didn't turn up. Oh, it was Lightning, actually. It's still not quite a slick user interface in terms of if something goes wrong, being able to trace it and so on. But, it's so early days that I always try and support it. Okay, so what got you into privacy? I mean, you talked about getting into Tails and so on. So you got into privacy. Did you go into a certain area of privacy? Or, tell us about your privacy journey, I guess.
I think it was just, what was the steps? I mean, I think one of the first steps I took was obviously using Linux on as an desktop operating system. I've used a few Linux distributions, Linux Mint, Ubuntu, Pop OS, which is, I really like Pop OS. And then there was the phone. You need to get rid of that stock operating system. So I've used like Lineage OS, Calyx OS, Graphene OS is really good. That's great. And then just using FDroid, getting all the open source FOSS apps, things like that. There's always new things to be finding and new software and services. I really love it. I mean, when I tell people in real life about these things, they think you're a bit crazy sometimes, but more paranoid. But you've got to start somewhere, haven't you?
Yeah. Fortunately, when you hang out with Bitcoiners, it's kind of a normal thing to do. I've just got I bought a secondhand Pixel to try Calyx, as I am using an Android still, but I feel dirty when I use it, so I do put Calyx on that phone and start using it. So what are your favorite privacy tools? You mentioned the phone and operating systems and Linux. Are there other ones that you that you really...
Number one definitely is Bitwarden. I just don't see how you could not use a password manager nowadays. I mean, you need an account for nearly everything. People do have hundreds of accounts. It's just not feasible to be able to remember a different unique password for every service.
Yep.
So using Bitcoin, obviously, you can just generate a random string, really long, unique password for everything. And it's amazing. And you can even share it if you, I don't know if you have to pay or not. I've got a paid account, but I think you can share login details with your wife or whoever, which is amazing. Signal, I love Signal. Yep. For messaging family and friends, although it's very challenging to get people over from WhatsApp.
Yeah, so do you have any traction with that?
I've managed to get family and a lot of friends over, but the thing is, I just don't think people care. They just think, why would I use this when it's identical?
Yep.
They're just not fussed. So it's tricky to try and explain about Facebook and things like that.
So is there much of a community over there that you can kind of touch base with and have those discussions? Because I totally resonate with you in that people either get it or they don't. And so if you find someone that gets it, you can start chatting straight away about, Signal's not good enough because, you have to put your phone number in and they prefer Briar or whatever. But
do you have a
community over there that you can talk about Bitcoin or privacy tools and so on?
I don't really. I'm a bit of a lurker on Reddit, to be honest. So I look at the privacy subreddits and things like that. I don't really comment at all. But a little bit of a lurker. I know what you mean about Signal. And it's a balancing act, though, isn't it? You can't be all in perfect, 100% secure, private. It is a balancing act between privacy and convenience. And if you go too far down, it's just so inconvenient. Too frustrating. So
What about emails then? So you must be an expert in emails. What's your favorite privacy email?
I have ProtonMail. I've got a Tutanota. I did start off using Tutanota as my business email for Anonady. But the reason why I moved to ProtonMail was their native support for PGP.
Okay.
Because Tutanota doesn't natively support that. So you have to use something called Mailvelope. You might have heard of it. It's a little browser extension. But with ProtonMail, they have your PGP keys and they can automatically decrypt messages that arrive in your inbox. So that was the main, because a lot of people who email me use encryption.
Yeah, okay.
And so that was the main reason I moved over to ProtonMail. But yeah, I love ProtonMail. I've got some other email accounts of my own domains at, on MXRoot, I think, which I've had for years, and I just can't be bothered to move them.
Okay, and what about like browsers, VPNs? Is there anything else that you kind of have looked into?
A big fan of Mulvad. I really like that as a VPN. Browsers, Firefox is obviously, I think, is probably the best option. But on Google Chromium or Brave, because as a developer, you do need to use different browsers.
Yes.
Because you'll think it looks perfect in one browser, and then you go over to Firefox or vice versa, and the pixels won't be lined up. And So, yeah, I do have to use multiple browsers. But it's good anyway, because it compartmentalizes activities. That's what I love about Firefox, is the containers.
Mm-hmm.
You can obviously have separate containers for work, other social media, things like that. So if you want to go on Twitter, you can stop that interfering with other things.
Okay, cool. So when you kind of look forward, I was watching a movie about like the history of Linux, and in their mind, this is like, 10, 20 years ago, they were thinking that Linux would take over the world, and I guess it hasn't. But where do you see all this privacy tech going? Do you think that it's going to be the majority of what people use, or are the Facebooks and Microsofts of the world still going to be, remaining powerful? How do you think it's going to play out?
Not wanting to sound too pessimistic, I just don't know if people care enough about their privacy, or perhaps they're not aware of the risks of not caring enough, but people in my experience seem to just choose convenience over privacy, as in no one seems to bat an eyelid at having an Amazon Echo or Alexa thing in the house, and because it's just slightly more convenient, they will sacrifice their personal information. So these big monopoly companies are always going to have that on their side, because that's all they build for, is the more convenience for people. So unfortunately, I don't know really. I mean, I'm hopefully more people will get interested in this as more data breaches happen, and it'll push people down the privacy rabbit hole. But I'm not sure, to be honest. It does feel like it's a little bit fringe when you talk to people in real life about it, or at least my friendship group.
Yep.
they just don't understand why you care about your private information so much.
So why do you care? Like, what did make you care, and why does it resonate with you?
I honestly don't know. I don't remember. I mean, obviously, when you first get on the internet back in the days of MySpace and all that stuff, you're not thinking about this stuff when you're just a kid. But
yeah,
I don't actually remember a time when I just suddenly. I think it was a gradual mm-hmm. journey.
Yep.
But I just don't see the need in sharing your entire life. I mean, to be honest, I'm like this in real life as well. I don't love talking about myself particularly, yeah. or yeah. sharing loads of information about myself. I just don't see why I would want to do it. So that's just how it's been. I just think that some things should be kept private, and it just makes you feel more safe and
yep.
Protected when you're not telling everyone where you are, and I'm on holiday now, and posting Instagram pictures of every stage of your life, and I don't know. I just don't understand why you'd want to do that.
Yeah, no, neither. There's definitely some feeling that's harder to define when you're using those privacy. Like I use Linux Manjaro, and I can't describe it. There's a feeling I get when I use it, and I just feel good. But when I have to go and use a Windows, yes. computer, which is pretty rare, I'm like, ugh, it's just like, it's the opposite feeling. But I can't really define it that well. But yeah,
it's just a worse user interface, user experience, sorry, yep. as well. Yep. Whenever you go back on Windows, it feels so slow and bloated.
Yep.
Microsoft Explorer, Internet Explorer, and Edge, or whatever it's called now. Yeah.
Definitely. Okay, so just for people listening, we're recording on the 5th of October. And the reason I mentioned that is there's a lot going on in England at the moment. You're in London. Be interested to get your thoughts on what's happening, you know, with your country's finances, because we're sort of watching the currency collapse. And as Bitcoin is, we've kind of been expecting it. What's the feeling like over there in terms of, is there any panic, or how are people feeling about what's happening with their currency?
I think, I mean, obviously all the mainstream media is going on about the cost of living crisis, and they do love to ramp up the fear, don't they, for clicks. Yeah. But I mean, luckily for me, I get paid in dollars.
Okay.
Anonadi, so that pound dollar rate has actually been favorable for me.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's not been too bad, but yeah, I mean, I think it will help cryptocurrencies, to be honest.
Yep.
Because it just shows how unstable fiat currencies can be, and at the end of the day, they're not backed by anything, are they? So I just think that I do think in the long run it will help cryptocurrencies. Maybe people will put money into them as a safe haven to hedge against fiat currencies collapsing. But I mean, who knows what will happen, but it's not looking good.
Yeah, it's just interesting when, you know, because I've been watching the macro sort of environment very closely, and England seems like the first to really start falling apart. Japan, it's pretty similar, and Europe's not far behind, I think. But it's, you kind of look at it and you go, like, at what point do people go, I really should get some gold or some Bitcoin?
Absolutely,
But it seems to, I don't know what the point is. It's not there yet, I don't think.
I don't think people believe it could collapse, though. That's the thing. I just don't think they believe that it's possible it would be allowed to happen.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it feels a bit more like a managed decline at this point, so.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, I've really appreciated having you on and hearing those insights about how your journey to leaving the corporate world and forming your own company and providing a really awesome service that everyone around the world can use. What do you tell everyone the best way to contact you? Obviously, the company's a non-ad and you can Google it, but what's the best way to find you and your company?
The best way to find me, just visit anonadi.com. If you want to send me a message, email, you can just email contact@anonadi.com. I've got Twitter, which is just Twitter/anonadi. Reddit, there's a subreddit, the GitHub repo, which is just github.com/anonadi. It has a discussions page. So if you have a feature request or have any questions, you could ask them on the discussions page. I think that's about it, to be honest. I don't have any other social media for the business, but
yeah,
I think that's about it.
No, that's all you need. Twitter is probably enough. You don't want to be doing Facebook or everything. Yeah. Okay, well, thanks heaps for your time, Will. And again, thanks for making a really great product. I look forward to seeing what the new version of the site is going to look like. When do you reckon that'll be out?
Oh, man. what was it now, 5th of October? I'd say maybe another 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay. All right. Well, by the time...
I'm a bit of a perfectionist, so...
Okay. Yeah. By the time this comes out, then it won't be that long until users are able to go and look at your...
hopefully not. Your site.
Well, yeah, thanks again, and go and enjoy your day, and hopefully the British pound does hang on a bit longer.
Thanks so much, Jeremy.